kind of nervous. I'm a topical kind of guy. I that's pretty much all I teach on. That's how I live my life. That's what I think of things when I run into different situations. I think of them in topics. And so I decided to pick the topic of hope for tonight. The whole reason I picked this, I didn't even realize that I was signed up for tonight until last Monday. But right before I found out, I had been thinking all day, and even probably the week before that, I had been thinking about this idea of hope and the hopelessness of this world. And the people I'm around, people in my oikos, how many people, I like that word, those people in my everyday life, how many people are just hopeless or maybe have their hope in some false hope? I have a coworker that really brought this to my mind, brought this to my attention. We talk from time to time, and I know he's not a believer, so I try to every once in a while bring up a conversation with God, just see where he's at, just try to spur him on somehow. And so I ask him, what do you believe? You know, do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. Do you believe in Jesus? Oh yeah, I believe he was a man. You know, I don't believe he was anything great. He basically explains to me he's a deist. He believes God got the world kind of in motion, everything's just kind of going around, got the world spinning, just kind of left it. And, he talks a lot about evolution, so I know he kind of mixes those principles together. He believes all gods are the same God, the Jewish God, the Muslim God, all the gods, they're all the same. And he believes God hates us. And it's hard for me to really know how to kind of talk to people like that. They have a very strong opinion. But it's given me a real heart for this guy because I realize the hopelessness he has. You know, he has certain hopes maybe in his life that are keeping him going, certain things here or there. Maybe, you know, I know he's kind of a nerd. He likes video games, so maybe those video games keep him going from day to day. Maybe he loves fast food. Maybe that's keeping him going. Maybe that's where his hope's at. I mean, he doesn't have a whole lot. And I'm just thinking, where is this guy's hope coming from? I mean, he has some really strong opinions. He has some really strong beliefs. But where is this coming from? And I know he's not the only one. In a shop of maybe 45 guys, I'd say 40 or so are unbelievers. They're people who either have false hope, like this guy, or maybe they're struggling with hope at all. They don't have any hope. Maybe they've kind of on their last straw, and it's like maybe alcohol's not working for them anymore. Maybe they're gonna take their own life one of these days. I don't know that, but it's really something that's burdening my heart because I am around these people. These are the people that I spend the most time with. I should be having an impact on them. So we have all this false hope in Psalm 33, verse 17. It says, the war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might, it cannot rescue. We can put our hope in all kinds of vain human things. You know, it's probably not horses anymore, but it could be like maybe a Mustang. That's a kind of a horse. It could be a car. It could be a house. It could be all kinds of things. We put our hope in these things, and they're so temporary. They're so vain. People put their hope in money all the time. That's that same principle. It's the house, it's the car, it's whatever you can buy, it's the nice suit, it's the luxury stuff. That money, if you have enough of it, it can get you pretty much whatever you want, except eternal life. And so the money only pertains to this life. It is only going to bring you comfort in this life. people try to find hope in other things, such glory. Glory and praise from people. I'm guilty of that. It's an area of pride. I knew getting preparing this lesson, I was afraid to speak on this. For one, I thought it was kind of a simple topic. Two, it's eerily similar to my topic last year on trust. So I was like, I don't know if I really want to do this. I don't feel comfortable. But you know what kept me going on this is like, okay, I'm not doing this for anybody there. I'm not doing this for glory or praise. I'm doing this because the Lord put this on my heart. Glory from men. I mean, you see guys, famous rock stars up on the stage. They want glory from men. That's what they want. They probably want their money too, but they want glory. Me and Micah, we're going to start a metal band. We want glory. No. No, but people want glory. In John, where is this? I'm sorry. In John 12, verse 43. Let me flip through. Actually, I'll start in verse 36. It says, when Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe him. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe. For again, Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart in turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God, or the praise that comes from man. They desired that more than the praise that comes from God. And it's so easy to get caught up in the here and the now. And when something's placed right in front of your face, and you have the choice between, okay, you get to have this, you know, cheap meal right now, this cheap fast food meal, or you can wait for the really expensive meal. You kind of want the cheap meal right now. And that's kind of what was going on here. You know, these Pharisees, in their life, they could only see what was right in front of them. They're like, oh yeah, well, this glory that comes from man, that's what's really good. That's the really good stuff. And they were failing to see the eternal side of things. And so many times, that's what we do in our life. We look at our temporary circumstances instead of seeing the eternal side. And I want to flip again to 2 Corinthians 4. I'll start in 13. It says, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believe and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it was all for his sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for the eternal weight of glory beyond comparison. And we think about it. It says light, momentary affliction. And this is coming from Paul. I mean, you read about some of the persecutions that Paul took. Those don't seem light or momentary. Those seem like pretty long, hard, drawn-out things. They didn't seem very nice. But according to him, they're light, momentary struggles and afflictions. And it's preparing us for the eternal weight of glory, in which is beyond comparison. And so he's saying, hey, this earth, I don't know if you're going to be going through these problems for another year or another 50 years. It's still light, momentary affliction. I don't care what severity is. It's still light, momentary affliction. And then he goes on to say, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the unseen, those things are eternal. You know, I want my focus not to be on the here and now, the things that I can see. I want it to be on the eternal. I know the glory that I receive now, according to this verse, is beyond the glory from God, that we're going to receive in heaven. It's going to be beyond comparison to any glory we could ever receive now. And I don't know what that's like. Me and Kirk were just talking about this. It's kind of hard to really know what glory is going to be like, but it's beyond comparison. I cannot take one earthly thing. I can't take my favorite earthly thing, whatever it might be. I can't take it. Okay. I can't take it and use it as a comparison for eternity and for that glory, because I have no clue what it's going to be like. It's nothing. In 1 Peter 5:4, it talks about how we'll receive from Jesus the imperishable crown of glory. I want that imperishable crown. We talk about an earthly crown. I mean, that's going to tarnish. It's going to fade. I'm sure there's a lot of things that are going to happen to this thing physically. You get a new vehicle. I don't care if it's a cheap vehicle or a nice vehicle. It's going to rust. It's all going to rust. I'll move on here. Another hope, and I've been seeing this, from talking to this deist at work. I've been seeing his hope. He puts a lot of his hope in science. The other day, I don't even know how we got on this topic. It was totally absurd to me. But he started talking about how, I don't know how long, maybe like 100 million years, the sun is going to expand so much that the earth stands no chance and we're going to melt. And he was like freaking out, like, man, we got to do something. We got to get off this rock. And I'm like, that is so far beyond anything I could care less about 100 million years from now. But he's like saying, oh, maybe we can go to Pluto and giving all these like different, like, okay. And he's putting his hope in science. And we think, it sounds absurd. And I wouldn't, trust what this guy says. But we see, like, I have a video I'm going to play right here. And it illustrates my point perfectly. Can you play it?
Denial of evolution is unique to the United States. I mean, we're the world's most advanced technological. So, I mean, you could say Japan. But generally, the United States is where most of the innovation still happens. People still move to the United States. And that's largely because of the intellectual capital we have, the general understanding of science. When you have a portion of the population that doesn't believe in it, it holds everybody back, really. Evolution is the fundamental idea in all of life science, in all of biology. It's very much analogous to trying to do geology without believing in tectonic plates. You're just not going to get the right answer. Your whole world is just going to be a mystery instead of an exciting place. As my old professor Carl Sagan said, when you're in love, you want to tell the world. So once in a while, I get people that claim they don't believe in evolution. And my response generally is, why not? Really, why not? Your world just becomes fantastically complicated when you don't believe in evolution. I mean, here are these ancient dinosaur bones or fossils. Here is radioactivity. Here are distant stars that are just like the our star, but they were at a different point in their life cycle. The idea of deep time, of this billions of years, explains so much of the world around us. If you try to ignore that, your worldview just becomes crazy. It's just untenable, itself inconsistent. And I say to the grown-ups, if you want to deny evolution and live in your world that's completely inconsistent with everything we observe in the universe, that's fine. But don't make your kids do it, because we need them. We need scientifically literate voters and taxpayers for the future. We need people that can, we need engineers that can build stuff, solve problems. It's just really a hard thing. It's really a hard thing. You know, in another couple centuries, that worldview, I'm sure, will be, it just won't exist. There's no evidence for it.
Doesn't that make you sick?
Yeah.
I mean, I know evolution's nothing new or anything, but I remember seeing that video a while back, and I just, like, it just made me sick to my stomach to hear him talking like that. But this is how the world's starting to view things. I mean, a lot of the world really is starting to view things this way. And it really makes me think, you know, where is this guy's hope? You know, when you break it down, his hope really, I mean, he said it himself, he's in love with science. That's his only hope. That's his one reason in life that keeps him going, is because he loves science. And praise the Lord for that. I think that's a God-given thing in his life. You know, I believe God gave him that love for science. But it's being used for obviously really negative, horrible things. And I'm not trying to rip on Bill Nye in particular. That's not why I showed that. But just that idea of putting our hope in something that's so temporary, such as, oh, well, we need your kids. We need your kids to be engineers and to build stuff for us. So don't pollute them with this absurd idea of your fantasy land. Let them be scientists and let them do what we want them to do, so that way we can, what can we do? I don't know. What can we do with them? I mean, we can evolve. We can, you know, do whatever. But where are we going? We have no destination. Maybe we can get off this rock before 100 million years. I don't know. Maybe that's our hope. But we have no eternal hope in any of that. He said it himself. He said science is observable. You know, what Christians believe in, or he didn't say that, but what creationists believe is unobservable. I don't think that's not true. That's not true at all. But regardless of which, you know, going back to that verse, that 2 Corinthians verse, we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. I don't want to look at just things that are observable. Because the things that are observable, they're temporary. I'm looking to eternal things. I'm looking to my invisible God that I'm not able to see. But I know, I have this promise that I'm going to meet him. And that's where my hope is. I don't put my hope in these human, temporary things. This hope, all these hopes that I mentioned, they're hopes that reside within the realm of our lifetime. Within, I don't know, 80 years maybe? Nobody knows our lifespan, but in Psalm 39, I'll go to 30, you can turn there, that's a good one. 39, verse 4. I'm reading out of the ESV, if anyone cares. It says, O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. I looked up that word fleeting. It means fleeting. I couldn't find a better word for it. I just wanted to let you know I've been doing research here. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow, surely for nothing. They are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Pretty sure that was Psalm of David. He had a pretty good idea of what his hope was in and what it was not in also. His hope was not in the number of his days because he knew how fleeting those were. I look in my own life. I'm only 21, but I look at the past 21 years, and that was a blink. And I talked to my mom. She says, you know, her life was a blink. Okay, I know my whole life is probably going to be a blink. I mean, we see. I'm sorry. We see in James. You don't have to turn there. James 4:14. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. We're a mist. I mean, I'm just trying to break this down so we see how small we are here. 2 Peter 3, I'm going to go there because I didn't put the whole verse on here. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And this next part, the Lord is not slow to fulfill promises, as some count slowness. His time, how he views slow, isn't the same as how we view it. We view this lifetime as being a very slow, drawn-out life. It's not slow to him. And then in Ecclesiastes 6:12, it says, "For who knows what is good for a man while he lives the few days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow? For who can tell man what will be after him under the sun?" You know, we don't have hope in our life, within the realm of our life, because everything that's in it is going to let us down. It is going to lead us astray. I see, you know, my coworkers, I see my friends, I maybe even see family members who are going through this, where they're putting their hope in these things. And it's starting, the reason this is really resonating with me is because the Lord's showing me, these are the people you need to be going after, and you need to be proclaiming hope to these people. You know, I never really thought about it like this. Oh, they don't have hope. I just thought, you know, I don't know what I was thinking, but it's true. And now whenever I look at people, I see this. I see, wow, that person has a false hope or no hope. My cousin, about a month ago, took her own life because she didn't see hope in her life. She didn't see a way out from the circumstances she was in. I don't know who those people are going to be that I'm going to come in contact with. Maybe my words could alter their life, change that course. I had a friend. I've been trying to get him to go to church for like the last month or so, and we've kind of been out of contact for a while, but recently I've been kind of spending more time with him, trying to catch up. And him and another friend, I've been trying to get him to come to church. I was like, come on, you know, it's not gonna hurt you. It's just a couple hours, you know. And I've had different opportunities to share the Lord with him. Well, I invited him this Sunday, and he told me, oh, I can't. He gave me kind of an excuse like he normally does. But this time he said, well, I'm going to church. I'm going to a church in Minerva. I don't know which one. He said, my aunt's getting baptized and my whole family's going to be there. Oh, praise the Lord, you know, go for it. And later I asked him about it, and he said, yeah, it was good. I liked it. They talked about Jesus and the resurrection and all this. You know, that's awesome. And I explained to him, I said, I know we don't talk, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes when you have close friends for a long time. It's sometimes hard to get on those deep issues. So I know we don't always talk about that deep stuff. But I explained to him, you know, this hope that I have in Jesus Christ, this is something that I base my entire life on. And I told him, I want that for you. And I mentioned the other couple friends that were all friends. And he said, that's right. He said, that's something along the lines of, like, that's all that really matters. And he's coming to this conclusion that he's done living his life for himself. I really believe that. I've seen different things in his life that have made me kind of see that in him, that he doesn't want to live for himself anymore. And I don't know where the breaking point's going to be. I don't know when he's finally going to give in. But I'm waiting for it, and I'm praying for it. And I'm so grateful that I have this hope, because if I wasn't doing this lesson on hope, I probably wouldn't have thought to tell him about my hope. If I didn't tell him about my hope, well, who knows? Maybe we would have never had that connection right there. We need to be ready with this. You know, we need to be proclaiming hope in our own life, reminding ourselves. There's verses in the Psalms, you know, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. That's Psalm 62:5. And then Psalm 42, verse 5, it says, why are you, I think it's downcast. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. We need to be reminding ourselves of this hope that we have. So, I ended a little short there, but that's my message, and that's what I want to live. I want to live with a hope that I can proclaim to people. And thank you for listening.
Some comments. This is student teaching here.